Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to read once again the epistle lesson from 2 Peter. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased," we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. And we have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. We often might think that if we just had a little bit more assurance, a little bit more of a special gift from God, that it would be easier to believe. We might think, well, if we could figure out, have that one little special vision, what Peter and James and John had, we would think then it would be easy to believe that Jesus is true God and true man and our Lord and our Savior. We talk about most of Jesus' life as his state of humiliation, not that he was humiliated by having done something wrong and that he got caught, but that he laid aside the glory that he had. The Gospel of John every once in a while says that Jesus did a sign, the most amazing of them bringing Lazarus forth from the grave. And every once in a while someone would get a glimmer that something more is going on with this man than just that he's a normal human being. And so John would tell us that way. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, even though they talk about the miracles that Jesus did, they tell us two times when something amazing happened. First of all, when Jesus was baptized, and the voice came according to the Gospel of Mark, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." And then here at the Mount of Transfiguration, as Jesus is ready to go down the hill to suffer, to be shamed and humiliated needlessly by human beings who wanted to get rid of him because they saw him as a threat to their version of God, and they figured God wanted him out of the way, that Jesus fella, and so they were going to help God out, not recognizing that God's deepest desire is to be merciful to sinners. Well, Peter and James and John saw it. You might remember that it wouldn't be much later than this on a Maundy Thursday evening. Having seen this vision, they all forsook him and fled. And Peter, who saw this vision, I don't know the fellow. Yeah, maybe I've got the same kind of speech pattern, but I don't know who he is. After he had been with him for 3 years and called him the Christ, the Messiah. Well, on Easter evening, the Lord forgave all of them and gave them the gift of the Holy Spirit and said, "Now go forth from your chamber of fear up here in the upper room and go forth and tell people I'm risen." Well, as time went on in the early decades of the church's history, people began to scratch their heads and wonder, did anything happen? Is there anything to this story? And so Peter says, "I am near death. And before I die, I want to tell you something. Because I hear a lot of people saying, oh, yeah, Jesus, they said he lived and he died and he rose. But we're not there. We're not over there in Israel. We don't know if any of that happened. In fact, we're not sure that there is a future, anything after we die. We're not sure that God even exists, and we're not sure that there is going to be a judgment in the future. So let's just live our life the happiest we can. Let's just enjoy every day. In other words, take the whole story of salvation, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, and toss that in the trash. Get rid of it. Doesn't really matter. And so Peter writes and he says, those of you who are talking like that, which is what some people call practical atheism, even if there is a God, he's not involved in this world, and so as far as we're concerned, you live and you die, and that's the end of it. So eat, drink, and be merry. Peter writes and he says, I saw Jesus in his glory. I heard a voice come from the heavens that says, this is my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. And the Lord comes to give eternal life, to deliver people from their sin and death, from hell and Satan, from the wrath of God himself. Listen to him. Listen to what he says. Listen to what he has done, and shape your life according to it. He's not going to give everybody that vision. That's his business. I'm not sure anyone is ever converted by a vision anyway. It'll get their attention. But as Peter says here, the Holy Spirit has to touch the heart, to open the heart so someone says, this is my reality. And thus Transfiguration Day, not just the day on which Peter and James and John said, let's stay up here, Jesus, it's kind of nice. Yes, it is. To dwell in the presence of the glory of God is our eternity. It is what we are going to receive when he calls us forth from the grave. But those who say, well, I haven't seen anything happen in the 50 or 60 years after Jesus was born, there are people already questioning it. Certainly people who say after 2,000 years, there's nothing to that. To their own eternal hurt. Peter says, don't con yourself. Don't fool yourself. Don't think that this is just one day after another. It's never had a beginning and it's never going to have an end. There will be a time when this world comes to an end, not just for us individually, but for the world as it is. And a new heavens and the new earth will be created. And we will all stand in the presence of the Almighty God. Every one of us will stand face to face with Jesus himself in his glory. Peter says, I want every one of you to hear that message. Come in, blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. He doesn't want any human being to hear, you didn't think I existed, huh? You thought life was just you calling all the shots on your own and you didn't need a Lord and a Savior. You took all of the gifts that I gave you. You took the life, the health, the healing. You took all of the foodstuffs and all of the creatures on this earth. And you acted as if those were yours and you could do with as they wanted. When you heard about me as your Savior and your Lord, you said, doesn't make any difference to me. Well, you rejected me, and you get to keep on being apart from me. Peter says, we don't want to hear that. We don't want anyone to hear that. And so he says, even if you haven't seen that image, that bright and shining light, I did. And take it from me. When I heard those words, this is my beloved Son, listen to him, that's not bad news, it's good news. Shape your life according to loving others as you have been loved, forgiving others as you have been forgiven, as much as is possible for us in our world to live at peace with others. They may not let us, but at least in our heart that we say to our Lord, help us to do it as we can. Peter says he wants all to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. There are others who babble on about, there's nothing to that. We know we live in a world that does not want freedom of religion, but freedom from religion. In our day and age, people want no one telling them anything about anything, as if, like John Stuart Mill would talk about it in On Liberty, you do what you want. Long as you're not hurting anybody else, do whatever you please. Be disconnected from all of those old myths that held you down and enjoy life. And our Lord comes and says, our old sinful nature is not to be fed and cared for. It is to be drowned through daily repentance. There are many ideas that we can have that the world would praise and glorify that are against what God built us to be, and that our life is a life of confessing our sin and confessing our faith and rejoicing that God has not left us alone, and that the word of the Holy Spirit that comes to tell us about our salvation and our restoration is a word that has power inside of our hearts to give us a peace that this world is never going to give. Someday, we're all going back up that mountain. We will see what Peter and James and John saw. We will see it not because we deserve it, but because we have been gifted with the blessings of our Lord's suffering and dying and rising. He wants all people to know that. He wants our friends and our neighbors and our relatives, all of them to know it. He wants people we will never see to know it, and so we send missionaries out. We might grow weary. We might say it doesn't matter. We'll just keep the faith to ourselves. But at that point, instead of saying, this is his beloved son with whom he was well pleased, listen to him, we will be saying, well, it's good for me, but it doesn't matter for anyone else. We need the Spirit of God to loosen our tongues and our hearts as well, to care for people, encourage them, when they hit the wall, as they will, to let them know there is good news that wraps us all forever and ever. We pray that the closest we get to him will help us in our daily life, our holy baptism, our being fed with his body and blood, strengthening us for the tasks ahead. Your will be done in my life, O Lord. Amen. May the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.